My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, the frustration. Anthony, you almost had your own little remix there. Also, that's not... Why did you have like a...
It was an air horn.
You had like an air... That's not what we mean, but... Okay, hold on. I just... Let me hit the button, and then I'm going to bring in Mitch, and then we're gonna make this right. All right, hold on.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not my beat.
Mitch Tischler is with us for a Tischler Tuesday, and Mitch, are you regretting that yet?
Not yet. Unfortunately, after the game, maybe not as much good stuff to talk about, but still enjoy talking to you every time I get a chance.
Okay, well, I mean, I would say, game aside, whatever Anthony just did, because we, when we last met our heroes, you had said we got to make sure we have some air horns ready for this week. That's really all you wanted, as opposed to like a song or whatever. And Anthony somehow, instead of doing what I thought you meant, which I'm guessing is something like this. Anthony instead put like the air horn that they blow at the end of practice to signal that practice is over, which in a weird way actually fits, but I'm guessing you meant the DJ sound effect.
Yeah, I was definitely thinking the yum, 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 meow.
So you telling me you don't want this?
I'm getting flashbacks like third grade recess when they were trying to call us all in.
I'm just having flashbacks of training camp. Honestly, Anthony, where the hell did you find that?
See, you asked too many questions, Craig.
I just searched DJ Airhorn and... This is our show, Mitch. I mean...
You know what? I appreciate the effort either way. You know, Anthony could have just done nothing, but at least he came up with something for us.
He did... Sometimes that is the Anthony Haney way. Hey, man, I came up with something. Okay, let's talk some football, shall we? Mitch Tischler, of course, the Beltway Football Podcast with J.P. Finley. You can catch him after games. You can catch him during the week. You can catch him previewing games. You know how podcasts work. They're audio for your ears, just like this radio show. Okay, Mitchell, your highest... This was a game that actually had enough that I think this is an interesting question to ask. Like, as we sit here on Tuesday, having had whatever number of hours it's been to process it, what is the thing that you can't stop thinking about from Sunday?
I would say on the positive side, Brian Robinson Jr. I think through camp we saw a lot of different ways that they planned on using him, and I think come game time we saw that, and he played really well. I mean, you know, he only averaged 3.3 per carry. He had that long catch come back a little bit, but I like the way they spread the ball around to him, and when he got in between the tackles, he ran hard, eluded tackles, and looked pretty good. So on the positive side, you know, Brian Robinson Jr. On the negative side, I think you got to go with kind of the secondary, maybe Emmanuel Forbes specifically, but just kind of the secondary issues that we've seen for years with this Washington Commanders team, and they just reared their ugly heads once again on Sunday.
If we throw a confidence level on this staff's ability to fix the defensive backfield, where is that compared to? Because, like, I think by the end of last year, our confidence level was zero. on their ability to correct the issues because they just kept being so pervasive. And we see a lot of the same issues. The question is, will we continue to see them in the same way that we did? What is your confidence level that this staff can actually get this corrected?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still a 6 or 7 out of 10. We'll call it a 6.5 out of 10 that they can correct this. You know, it's one game. You can't bury them after just one game. Certainly there were some questions that I think were fair to ask about kind of the game plan, both offensively and defensively, and then also kind of some of the in-game decisions from the head coach between timeouts, going for two, all those different things. But we got to remember, this is a brand-new situation, a brand-new team. You know, Cliff and DQ haven't worked together before. Cliff and Joe Witt haven't worked together before. There's a lot of things that are coming together, not to mention, you know, more than half of the roster was turned over. So I think a lot of it is exacerbated by the fact that they played the Bucks, who have such a strong receiving core. Baker Mayfield's a solid vet who knows how to kind of take advantage of situations. And, oh, by the way, they've won the division 3 times in a row since Tom Brady retired. I know that it'll be a better kind of measuring stick this weekend when they play the Giants, who have a lot of the similar pieces of a rebuild that Washington is dealing with as well.
How did the post-game locker room compare to, let's say, I don't want to say like the end of last year, because the end of losing seasons in locker rooms is just the worst place you could possibly be in the NFL. But how did the locker room and the reaction and to an extent, like what Quinn had to say and kind of his demeanor after the game compare to previous teams and regimes that you've covered?
I would say pretty similarly. I mean, I think, you know, guys are frustrated at losing. The team can talk about rebuilding all they want, but players don't rebuild. Players are in there to give their 100% and put the best thing they can on tape, because who the heck knows where they're going to play, you know, in years to come. And so the guys are frustrated. I mean, you could see it, you know, in their faces. You could see it in talking to them. You know, for the most part, I thought Dan Quinn did a good job of kind of, you know, answering questions truthfully while also, you know, not quite acknowledging that, you know, this roster might not quite be, you know, where it needs to be. To me, the most frustrating thing was hearing the secondary talk about communication. You know, obviously that was an issue. We saw it play out on the field. You know, you saw it when, you know, receivers were running open in soft spots of zones and whatnot. But at the end of the day, you know, it's almost like athlete speak at this point. It's corner speak. Every time something goes wrong, they got to talk more. They got to communicate more. At some point, you got to see it on the field. And I think, you know, reading between the lines, listening to Dan Quinn both on Sunday and Monday, he's going to give these guys an opportunity to show who they are. Because, again, you can't make, you know, final determinations about folks after one game. But I don't know that DQ is going to accept this level of play across the board at, you know, as we get into the season, and not just this season, but as we start looking towards the future as well.
Mitch Tischler, of course, Beltway Football Podcast with us here on the Hoffman Show. When we talk about the corners, I don't have another way to ask it, Mitch. Like, how different is Forbes than, say, what happened to Sainer Still, what happened to BSJ? Like, do you put him in a different category in terms of, do you feel like there was an effort being an issue, attitude being an issue, and thinking about some of the things we were hearing during camp, he turned it on late, whatever. Is he in a different bucket on some of the stuff you just talked about in terms of what Dan Quinn will accept than these other guys, or are they all kind of in that bucket together?
I think they're all kind of in that bucket together. I think at different levels. I mean, listen, with Emmanuel Forbes last year, there became a real question about effort and want to with him, particularly in the run game and kind of sticking his head in there and getting involved in it. That hasn't been an issue through camp. It wasn't an issue on Sunday per se. At some point, these guys just might not really be NFL starting caliber corners. And, you know, this coaching staff is going to do all they can to get these guys ready and pump them up and get them in the right place. But to me, you know, I just think you're realizing that this is just kind of who they are. And BSJ had a really nice play on kind of an out route from Trey Palmer, where he was able to jump it and get to the outside. But what I don't like about that is 3 or 4 plays before that, he was in the same defensive positioning, which is about 10 yards off the ball, man-to-man coverage, with Mike Evans. And he immediately bailed deep and gave Mike Evans a real easy 8-yard out to get a first down there. And you're seeing a player, to me, when you see kind of those two, not when those two situations happen, you're seeing a guy who's not playing to his coaching, but playing to, you know, quote unquote, not look bad per se. And I don't love that from him. You know, Emmanuel Forbes didn't play particularly well, but sometimes you just got to tip your cap to a player. The Mike Evans touchdown down the end when he's all over him, you know, is just a nice play from Evans. I just think this is kind of they are who they are, and we're seeing it play out now for a second time. Unfortunately for Joe Witt Jr. and for Dan Quinn, you know, this is the first time they're seeing it, and they're getting there. They're starting to wrap their heads around, you know, they may like their energy, they may like their effort, they may like the physical tools, but for whatever reason, it's not all coming together. And again, just with everything else, I'm not, you know, throwing out the baby with the bathwater, but it's something that, you know, we as Commanders fans and media and folks that have watched the team have seen now, you know, multiple years in a row from this group.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think the other thing in the secondary, Mitch, that I wonder about in terms of communication, like Quan Martin's a young player who hasn't played a whole lot of safety, certainly at the NFL level. He famously, infamously, whichever one you want to pick, bounced around at different positions last year from nickel, Buffalo nickel, safety, he's in the box, he's playing deep. You know, Jeremy Chinn's not a guy that's played consistently because of injury, and he's new to this system and scheme, and he had a very quiet day on Sunday. And I think that, you know, specific to some of the big plays they give up, like Quan and Sain were still coming together, had miscommunications on multiple times that had McMillan running free in the secondary. And you go, oh, those are two young players. And the thing that I'm curious about for DQ and Joe and Tommy Donatell and whoever else is involved in coaching those dudes is how much tolerance do they have for young guy stuff? And also, how do they fix young guy stuff so that it happens less and less frequently until, you know, in an ideal world, it's not happening at all?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the question because, you know, I think you and I were realistic, and I think folks that are covering the team were pretty realistic about kind of where this roster was, you know, that this wasn't really quite a playoff roster, so to speak. So there is going to be some growing pains as you go through this. For me, both Emmanuel Forbes and Benjamin St. Juice are both obviously relatively young players that, you know, you want to give a chance to. Some of the bigger concerns for me was kind of the front four and even the secondary. You mentioned Jeremy Chinn, you know, like a baseball team, you want to be solid up the middle. You want baseball, you want, you know, a good catcher, a good pitcher, a good center fielder. That was supposed to be the strength of this team. You know, that middle of that defense with Teron Payne, John Allen, you know, Bobby Wagner in the middle, and then Jeremy Chinn kind of being your thumper in the back end. And quite frankly, I thought those guys didn't look particularly good on Sunday. And to me, that's equally as concerning or maybe even more concerning than when you look at some of the quote-unquote young guy mistakes that you were talking about, because they got after Baker a little bit. They certainly didn't finish with Baker. They got after him a little bit, but you saw pretty distinctly as this game went on, those guys got worn out up front, and all of a sudden they were running, you know, they were running through giant gaps in the middle of the defense, and, you know, Rashad White had averaged 12 and a half. Rashad White averaged, 2.1. Bucky Irving averaged seven yards a carry. And those guys just started getting gashed as the game went on. And that's not coaching to me. That's endurance, it's ability, it's you know, it's all those different things to step up and kind of make a play. And at some point, you know, you want one of your vets, one of your guys who you brought in to be your leaders, to be that guy and, you know, make a game-changing play. And they didn't make any big plays really on defense, nonetheless anything that was really game-changing.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point, and this is something that Dan Quinn's teams have relied upon those last 3 years where they've been top 10 defenses in Dallas. Is the yardage numbers are not always, especially yards per attempt, great, but they lead the league in turnovers two of those 3 years. And, you know, Logan made this point on Take Command when we were recording this morning. He's like, playing defense kind of sucks because you have two really good plays and then you mess it up on third down and none of it matters. And so, like, you know, Bobby Wagner does have, three tackles for loss in the game. Well, if you get a tackle for loss on, you know, second and 10 and it's second and 13 or third and 13 now, and you give up a third and 13, or this happened to them, they had like a third and 11, they have a penalty. Now it's third and 6, and now it's a much easier conversion. And I think it's actually the play to Evans that you referenced earlier where that happens. And the consistency that you have defensively to be good in this league is really, really hard, but is the standard. And so I think that's a really great point that, you know, these young guy mistakes can, again, they can be the thing that undoes a drive. You know, you miss an opportunity for a sack or a tackle for loss. That can be the thing. You're just not quick enough on a screen or with recognition of something. Like, that can be the one play. And offensively, in some ways, your job is just a lot easier, not just because of the rules or all these other things that people point to, but because if you're right with any significance on one of the three attempts that you get, you get three more tries. And defensively, you have to go 3 for 3.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that we were, as I was talking about kind of the Benjamin St. Juice, you know, play a corner, there was two plays that were pretty similar to me for Bobby Wagner there. And in the first quarter, he stopped Baker on kind of a scramble out to the right that led to the first field goal for the Bucks. And he did a good job of kind of breaking down and staying in front of Baker and, you know, getting into the ground. And then you fast forward to the third quarter, and almost similarly, Bobby is one-on-one with Baker and kind of gets juked, and Baker is able to reach it out and get the first down there. And I didn't really see or hear John Allen much in the game at all. Deron broke through the D-line the one time early in the game and forced Baker out there. But, you know, those two guys, you're paying a lot of money to, and if you're trying to establish a culture and an identity, you need your big time players to step up and make plays, and that didn't happen on Sunday. And again, I'm not saying that's going to be the theme throughout the season, but it's certainly something that I want to see more from, particularly from the quote big name vets who came in the offseason and the guys who have been here and are your highest paid players.
For sure. And Matt on our YouTube stream makes a good point that it was 100 degrees and it had been fairly cool here in DC. And you just wonder if the heat got to him as well, which is a human thing that can happen. But they don't get a point bonus because you were the team that hasn't practiced in the heat. And so it's something that, you know, both teams played in the same field in the same temperature. Tampa overcame it. Washington didn't. But it is something where, you know, Payne and Allen played only about 60% of the snaps. I wonder if they wind up playing more and better, especially late in games in not 100 degree heat in Tampa starting this weekend back in DC. Last thing for Mitch Tischler here.
Hold on, real quick.
Yeah.
I think Johnny Newton coming back, whenever that happens, will help out a lot.
Yes, for
Ron
sure.
And John both had an opportunity to play in the preseason in New York when it was hot in August. They then had a chance to play in Miami when it was 100 degrees and 80% humidity as well. I'm not saying it was their decision or choice not to play, but let's point out that they had an opportunity to prepare themselves a little bit better than maybe they did here.
I think that's totally fair. And it's one of the things that I've already noted this week on the show is next season when we have the should they play in the preseason debate, someone please remind me that my answer as of week one in this season is yes. Yes, they should. Last thing for you, though, Mitch, is on the Terry front. I don't expect Terry to be treated like Justin Jefferson because he's not Justin Jefferson. And I do think that upon watching the tape, Terry could have very easily had a 6-catch, 180-yard day if Jaden Daniels hits the throw to start the third quarter, makes another one, and then does a couple of other things that most veteran quarterbacks in the league would do. But he's a rookie in his first start. Totally explainable why he didn't. With that said, do you think Kliff should be force-feeding 17 a little bit more, or is he just not that caliber receiver where the game is going to have to come to him, and that's going to involve some patience with a rookie quarterback?
I think you got to force the ball to Terry. I'm sorry. I know that he had some opportunities as the game went through, but for his first catch to come with 3 minutes left in the third quarter, to me, is unacceptable. We yelled about this. We screamed about this last year with Eric Bieniemy. I like what Kliff does with some of these quick passes to the outside. Kind of there's a duality to it where they run both a screen left and a screen right and kind of let JD drop back and decide, you know, which side of the field he wants to attack on. But at some point, you got to get the ball quickly into the hands of your most explosive, best player on offense. And, you know, outside of Jaden Daniels, who's the most explosive, but you got to get the ball to Terry McLaurin early. You know, a three yard, you know, quick slant can be taken 60 yards to the house. And the fact that went that far in the game, wide receivers had one catch for 0 yards in the first half. I know that he was having pressure. I know Todd Bowles. I know they ramp everything up. There's things that offensive coordinators can do to get the ball into their playmakers' hands. And that's something that Kliff has talked about and that we've seen from Kliff's offenses in the past that he'll do that. And I think as we move forward, that I hope as we move forward that they're able to make a couple adjustments to make those sorts of things happen.
I 100% agree with you. Let's get a pop pass. That's a completion. That's one that Terry's going to get. Let's get a screen. Let's do some of this stuff. Make sure that his targets are closer to double digits than zero. Mitch Tischler, co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast, which you can check out anywhere you get your podcast. And he joins us every Tuesday, 5 o'clock, here on the Team 980. Mitchell, thank you, sir. Enjoy the rest of your week. And I will see you in the press box on Sunday.
Great. I'll leave you with this. Meow, 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 meow.
I don't have it up anymore, but now we have you doing it, except for kind of in a cat version. I'm imagining in my head that's spelled M-E-O-W, M-E-O-W, M-E-O-W. So
absolutely.
We got... Hey, there we go. Anthony Haney's awake, everybody. All right. All right, Mitch. I'll see you on Sunday, buddy. Thank you. All right. That's Mitch Tischler with us here on the Hoffman Show. Thanks, Anthony.
Sir.
Anthony, just sometimes I just sit here and I just. When we get back, the moment you've all been waiting for. Our first Take Command Tape Tuesday. How did Jaden Daniels play through the eyes of one Logan Paulson? You hear it next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I'm John Oran, Pucks sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.